AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this morning. We talk with the folks from BAMWX.com every Monday morning. It's Brett Waltz is who we usually talk with, meteorologist there at BAMWX. And every now and then, something happens later in the week that I feel like we need to get a better perspective on exactly what the risks are, what the outlook is, and just dive a little deeper into the weather. And we're going to do that right now. Brett is here with us. Brett, hey, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Chip. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for making time, because on Monday morning, you gave us a warning that we could see some severe weather come to the middle of the country at the end of this week. We're getting really close to the end of this week, and it certainly seems to be developing, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It looks like it could be one of the bigger outbreaks that we've had so far this year, especially further off to the north. I mean, we've got a moderate risk for severe weather all the way up towards Cedar Rapids and into northwest parts of Illinois, and certainly could be a dangerous afternoon and evening tomorrow across those areas.
Okay. Explain to us what this means, this moderate risk, this elevated risk, this minimum, marginal risk. What does it really mean?
So the moderate risk for severe weather is basically a 4 on a scale of 5. 5 being the highest risk possible day in terms of most likely to have severe weather. This is a 4. They're rare. Not as rare as obviously the 5 out of 5, but a 4 out of 5 is a day that normally can produce numerous stronger tornadoes, very widespread damaging winds, and things like that. So this is something that you want to take very seriously. If you recall the Mississippi tornado that happened last week, that was in a moderate risk for severe weather. So this is something that should not be taken lightly by anyone.
Absolutely should not be taken lightly. How much concern should we have over the weather that's coming tomorrow afternoon? I mean, I'm planning on being on the road late tomorrow afternoon. And I'm starting to question whether or not I should do that in Northeast Iowa.
Yeah, it's definitely, even up by you, it's going to, I would say, really pick up, especially as we work into the afternoon, let's say 4 or 5 o'clock. And then from kind of then on out for that particular area, it's going to push into Illinois. You may initially actually for Des Moines and west of Cedar Rapids see some storms pop up as early as 2. To put it frankly, I think that any storm that develops in those areas and into central and northern parts of Illinois tomorrow afternoon and evening have the potential to be severe. And tornadoes is obviously always going to be the big story and the biggest threat, but large hail and damaging wind gusts are also going to be a concern throughout the afternoon and evening.
Okay, Brett, where is the energy for this system coming from?
Yeah, so this is all being driven by the strong Pacific jet stream that we've been dealing with. And we've got, for the first time, this is actually the most active start in terms of tornado season that we've had since 2017. And I think that right now we're dealing with the combination of kind of some of the lingering La Nina influence in the atmosphere that's leading to these bigger low pressure systems, but also the El Nino influence that we're slowly starting to pick up on, intensifying the jet stream. Some of the biggest severe weather seasons come as we deal with these transitions, and I think that's ultimately what we're dealing with right now.
Okay. I wanted to get to that and talk a little bit more about that transition from La Nina to ENSO neutral and eventually to El Nino. What's the status? How quickly is it happening?
So it's actually happening pretty quickly. The eastern ENSO regions right now that are closer to South America are actually 2 degrees Celsius above normal already. So wow. The warm waters that have been building in the subsurface there are rising very quickly. Now, the entire region hasn't warmed yet, and it will take some time to completely transition. But in our opinion, we're already seeing the stage is set for ENSO neutral at the very least. Well, really, I would consider that we're already in that right now. And then as we get into summer, probably into a weak El Nino, maybe a moderate to strong El Nino by the time we get into fall and winter.
And El Nino of any kind, by the time we get to the summer, I'll call it the end of June, first part of July, that creates some concerns, doesn't it?
Well, in terms of, and I think that we're already seeing it a little bit in the eastern Ag Belt, sometimes El Nino can bring excessive rains. Yeah. 2015 and 2016 is a good example of that. We're not quite to that level of things. But I think that in terms of maybe early in the season, in terms of planting this quick transition, the way that it's rising so fast is a concern for excessive moisture in the eastern Ag Belt regions for April and into May. I'm concerned, frankly, based on, it's already been pretty wet around here over the past couple of weeks, a lot more rain coming over the next 7 days. And I'm concerned about April in terms of maybe planting delays just from there being too much moisture.
Okay. The PDO, the Pacific Decadal Oscillation Index, there's more and more discussion about its influence on the weather patterns that are out there. Why?
Well, I think that it has shown very well over the past couple of years that it's a big driver, especially in terms of the plains and the drought that they've been dealing with there. And what the PDO is in this particular case, we're in what we call a negative or a cold PDO. There's a lot of warm water actually in the central Pacific right now, but right along the west coast of North America, there's cold water. And that just happens to be where normally that southern jet stream kind of moves through. And so it kind of creates this split in the jet stream. And ultimately, what can end up happening is areas like the southern plains, the southwestern plains that have been dealing with this drought, it tends to kind of divert moisture away from those areas. And so while some people may think, well, the El Nino, that's going to help with that, and it might help a little bit, we're still in that cold PDO state. And that's not favorable for good precipitation chances across Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas and those areas that are in drought conditions. And so, El Nino may help out in those areas, but that cold PDO, I think, is still going to cause some concern for the drought issues continuing out there.
The outlook for the PDO, is it expected to remain negative?
I would expect it to over the next several months. I would anticipate as we get into fall, it probably rises with ENSO. Normally those are related. But I do think that there's some concern that it doesn't rise fast enough to really aid those areas. I would be still concerned in summer, especially early summer, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, to be drier than normal. Maybe later in the season, things could bump up a little bit in terms of that, and you could get some more moisture, but I think it's going to be a while.
Yeah, Brett, what I hear you saying is that the factors and the events that influence our weather are kind of clashing right now, aren't they? I mean, they're beating up on each other.
They definitely are. It's a rare setup with the ocean that we're getting into right now. And really just looking back the last 20, 25 years, there's only one, maybe 2 years that even compare. The one that pops up is 2009 in terms of kind of the El Nino and the combination of the El Nino and the PDO. But even it's not perfect. I wouldn't say that there's one year that's one-to-one right now with what we're dealing with.
No, we don't want to repeat 2009 growing season in the middle of the Midwest. That was no fun. No fun at all. We supposedly had great yields, but it wasn't a very good quality on that crop. No question about it. Is there anything on the east side of the country, out in the Atlantic, that we need to be watching that is also having an influence on our patterns?
Yeah, I think the big thing right now is kind of the tendency for this southeast ridge of high pressure. It just doesn't want to seem to go away. And some of that's related to the ocean temperatures out there. But that is ultimately kind of what's aiding in this clashing of air masses that is continuing to just kind of drive moisture and the severe weather across the deep south, the Tennessee Valley, the Ohio Valley over the next couple of months. I think that's a feature that is almost semi-permanent. It doesn't really go away the next couple of months.
Okay. We are getting, if I could, I want to go to Brazil for just a moment.
Sure.
And if I'm out of bounds or leading you out of bounds, just say so. We're getting into the dry season. Is there any indication of which direction that dry season in the Safrinha corn crop area is going to go?
Sure. Let me pull something up real quick for you. Just so I can verify to make sure I don't steer you wrong there. But
okay.
I would say that in terms of Brazil there, just kind of as we get into this more El Nino-ish pattern, probably going to continue to get some decent rain chances, probably a little bit wetter than normal. Okay. I am looking down in Argentina, though, if you still are interested in that.
Sure.
It still does look a little bit drier than normal down there.
Okay. All right. Well, Brett, here in the state of Iowa, this week is Severe Weather Awareness Week, and you know, I've been watching it on the local news, and you could see them building up the meteorologists. I watch Schnackenberg. You can see him building up to, oh my gosh, here it is. It's Severe Weather Week, and we're going to have a lesson in it at the end of this week. Boy, yeah. Stay aware, everybody in the Midwest. You heard it from Brett. We've got some real risks ahead of us over the next, I'll call it 24, 36 hours. Buddy, thank you so much for making time.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Okay, we've talked a couple of times this week about the CO2 pipeline, some of the controversy there. Jeff Reintz from Shell Rock Farmer, he's got a different idea. It's called CAP CO2 Solutions. We'll learn about it next.